This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Gohan transforms into a giant ape and runs amok. Stop me if you've heard this one. Hey everybody, and welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about the Dragon Ball Z movie, The Tree of Might.
Dragon! Dragon! It's the, it is the Tree of... maybe. You might like this movie.
The tree of this is like the third one that was on the First Strike box set that I remember getting as a child being super jacked about because
what did they all have on that?
I mean, it was just the first three, so it was this and you know the World's Strongest and Dead Zone.
I thought they had Lord Slug on that too.
What? No, Lord Slug's separate. I also got that, but. I mean, it's the uncut versions, which as a kid was the coolest thing ever because uncut. Maybe they say damn once, I would guess. Yeah. Like, it's about that intense.
Which we watched uncut. They don't even swear at all. They just, you know.
Yeah, it's just violent. Like, just violence slightly against more children. Violent. Man, yeah, let's talk about that cut. So, unfortunately, we could not get a hold of the the original airing of this movie. It's basically only available, to my knowledge, on the Rock the Dragon Collector's DVD set, which is priced on eBay. I believe I saw one going for around $460, so that's quite obviously out of our price range.
I'm not shelling out that money for the fucking ocean dub.
Yeah.
And the censored version. Like, yeah.
But the censorship is really interesting, and that dub itself is kind of, like, weird. This movie is a unique case in that its original, like, airing was as part of the show quite randomly. Like, they split it into three episodes and then just kind of plopped it between episode 45 and episode 46. 46 being the episode Big Trouble for Bulma, which is the one where she fights a giant crab. You might remember that. Total filler episode.
Yeah. Bad Namek filler.
But it's crazy because to split it into three episodes, like this is a 60-minute long movie, they had to basically add about 10 minutes of content. And
oh, that's right. Yeah, you were saying, tell me about this earlier.
Yeah, and like,
how do you add content?
Well, basically you either cut in footage from the show or you extend footage or you repeat it from the movie. But I would just say go to moviecensorship.com and search for Tree of Might because they have an extensive rundown of all of the edits for the original version. I don't want to sit here and list all these edits because there's like a million of them. But definitely the most infamous one is there's a scene in this where Turles, the villain, grabs Gohan by the head and like forces him to look at a fake moon. And you know, they edit it so that he grabs him by the shoulders and then they digitally paint over Turles's fingers on his face. But the face is still like distorted from, you know, the like weight of gravity. So it just looks really fucked up. And I mean, we're going to post a picture of it on our social media, on our website. Like, it looks so bizarre, and we'll include a link to moviecensorship.com with that, too, because some of this shit has to be seen to be believed. It just looks so bad and so obviously fucked with. It's crazy.
Gohan, I mean, characters in this get brutalized. Gohan, who's like fucking 8 years old, gets his ass kicked in this movie constantly by adults.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, crazy. By one adult, pretty much. But I think the last interesting thing about this dub is that I believe it holds the distinction of the most dubbed Dragon Ball Z movie in English, because there was the edited dub with the Ocean Group. Then it was later released on DVD by Pioneer, who got the Ocean Group voice actors to redub an uncut version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huh. And then there's, of course, the Funimation dub, which is what we watched. So there's, like, three different English versions of this, while most only have, like, two from the Pioneer release and then the Funimation release.
And I would say in this, the dub was actually quite good. I thought the dialogue was actually well written and it didn't have any like awkward moments to it.
That, yeah, it was fine
for the most part. Yeah. Especially compared to like,
Tenchi. Yeah.
Yeah. Where every line is certainly. Just really awkward.
So I guess we'll do a quick primer. We're going to basically be going over this stuff again next week. So for the uninitiated, Dragon Ball Z is a show about basically superhero martial artists. The main one, the best one, being a guy named Goku. He's an alien. He is kind of Superman-esque. You know, he was raised by humans from an alien race.
Super human-looking alien.
Yeah, looks identical to a human, except that he has a tail. And with the tail, if he sees a full moon, he transforms into a giant ape. His tail was long ago removed, but he has a son named Gohan, who still sometimes has the tail, mostly so that he can turn into a giant, uncontrollable ape.
Yeah, which is often a plot device in these movies.
Yeah, sometimes.
And also there's like seven magic stones called the Dragon Balls, and you gather them all, you get to make a wish with a super magic cool dragon. And there's big bad guys that come from space and threaten Earth, and these guys have to fight, and everyone gets their ass kicks, and fucking the movies, or whatever, you know, they're pretty good. The fights last fucking forever, especially in the TV show.
And are pretty violent, all things considered, and they shoot, like, laser blasts.
Fly around, shoot laser blasts at each other.
That's probably the other main thing. So that's Dragon Ball Z. It's a show about dudes screaming and shooting lasers at each other, basically in a nutshell.
Yeah,
but
so let's get into the summary of this movie then.
So Tree of Might starts innocuously enough with a camping trip with several of the main characters from the show. We've got Krillin, who is just sort of a bald dude who's short and sucks basically at everything. Bulma, who is a blue-haired woman who doesn't really feature in this at all, but she's like a tech genius. And they're out camping with their anthropomorphic pig friend, Oolong.
Yeah, Oolong.
Fucking, God, this show sometimes. Every time I try, like, I start explaining this show, I'm like, man, this is fucking weird and makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely got to see it to believe it.
And I just accepted it as a kid and didn't even think about it. Anyway, Gohan, Goku's son, shows up for the trip with this enormous backpack, and he starts unpacking all this bullshit.
Well, we see a spaceship kind of flying through the galaxy, curiously making jet noises. Like, they're definitely like someone took a recorder to an airport, and we're just like, all right.
Yeah, or possibly they just held it out my window of my apartment. And
Only while you're recording.
Yeah.
Got some real good audio. That strikes and, like, blows up, strikes Earth and blows up and starts, sets the forest on fire that they're camping in. And immediately you get, like, everyone switches into, like, oh, God, there's a fucking huge fire. Let's shoot energy blasts at the fire to make it go away.
Yeah, let's power up and punch the air until the fire goes out. So they do that for a while. whether or not that's actually effective at putting the fire out is kind of questionable.
They
like,
do that for a little while. They blow. They're shooting air. They're basically like punching the air so hard that it shoots massive shockwaves, which, you know, it seems like it might stoke the fire.
Yeah, which
more
could
than
fuel the fire. But of course, you know, wind blows out fire, I guess, in this universe.
I guess if it's that powerful. But like, yeah, and then right from that scene, it's like, oh, they're helping. And Gohan saves this stupidly adorable fucking Barney-looking dragon. And
yeah, named Icarus. Now,
yeah, he later names Icarus. And like, and then it's like, all right. And then it cuts back to them punching the air again. And it's like, oh, they're doing it. And then like, it just cuts to like a couple hours later, and everyone's just standing there, and the forest is completely destroyed.
Yeah, like to the cinders of the forest. Whether they were useful whatsoever is very questionable.
Yeah. And there's just a bunch of sad animals just sitting there, like, our home.
Yeah, all of destroyed. Them fine, of course. You know, okay, so before we start talking about this more, though, I want to talk about Icarus for a second. Now, on the scale of, like, random side characters that exist to be cute and probably sell merchandise,
uh-huh.
Where would you put Icarus on a scale of like 1 to Ryooki?
1 to Ryooki?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Because
yeah, on a scale of 1 to Ryooki, on a scale of 1 to Haro, like what, where does Icarus fall?
Really put Haro at the top? It's just a ball. Icarus is pretty low.
Yes, indeed.
Icarus looks like, what's his name? BJ from the Barney and Friends show. He's just this kind of like cutesy, weird looking
DJ. And it's, I believe DJ is a girl. If you're talking about the yellow one,
I'm talking about the green one.
Oh, I don't fucking know.
I don't know either.
My Barney knowledge is pretty limited.
Yeah.
Since I'm
I
no
think
longer
Barney was
five.
A little after our time.
No, it was not. I watched Barney when I was a child.
You're so lame.
Yeah.
You're a shitty kid.
Yeah, I watched Doug, motherfucker.
Hey, fuck you, I watched Doug. Doug was my show.
Yeah. Sorry, go on. What does Icarus look like?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Icarus is just like, he's a purple dinosaur. Like, they make a joke about that. It's like a kind of a reference to Barney, I think. Like, oh, man, He's scared of a purple dinosaur?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
He's just like a fat, like, roly-poly purple dinosaur with a beak and big, cute eyes and, like, little wings.
Little wings that he flies with, yeah.
And he makes this, like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying.
And so they're like, hey, what do we do? This forest is fucked. And they're like, oh, you know what? Let's get the Dragon Balls. That's the name of the show. So we can summon the Almighty Dragon and
let's get the contractually obligated Dragon Balls. Yeah. We got.
That also seems to happen every movie, which is in the TV show. It does not happen very often, despite being the name of the show.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's one of the things that's hilarious about these movies to me is that they always use the Dragon Balls for something totally fucking innocuous, like. You know, in this, it's wishing a forest back to life, which I guess is nice, but still kind of like, well, okay. You know, in other movies, they're used to melt ice, like this magic.
Or used to give a villain immortality.
Yeah, that's, you know, it can give you immortality, it can resurrect the dead, but, you know, better fucking melt this
bring
ice.
Back the forest.
Or bring back the forest in this case.
Yeah, God damn it, though. It just reminded me of World's Strongest. Yeah, I gathered all the Dragon Balls. The villain gathers all the Dragon Balls. He could wish for immortality. Instead,
or
he wishes to melt the ice encasing his, like, old boss.
Yeah.
This old doctor man.
Pretty dumb. But, So that happens over the opening credits.
Yeah, the opening credits go into a montage, which I actually really liked. I thought that was a pretty effective
Yeah, that's a
montage.
Good way to handle it, for sure.
Yeah. So it's just like a montage of them getting stuff to the what was the Japanese opening theme instead of Rock the Dragon, which is basically the cheesy, similarly cheesy in a different way.
Cheesy like in a more cutesy
loud,
way than
loud
a like 80s dumb
singing
trying
about,
to be cool way.
Yeah, it's just excited 80s singing about I don't know.
Something.
I don't know what they're singing about.
Apple-colored monsters.
Oh, God, yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah, but, you know, that happens. They wish the dragon up there. Man, that's a weird way to put that. They get the dragon, who grants them wishes by gathering the dragon balls.
They rock the dragon.
Yeah, they rock the dragon and wish for the forest to come back. Icarus decides to fucking throw down with the eternal dragon for some reason.
What's going on. This is a dragon that is supposedly infinite length long. It's as big as the sky.
Like
this gargantuan Chinese style dragon that is just in the sky and intimidating. And immediately Icarus like starts flying after him, this shitty little dragon, just like, why? And it's never explained why he did that. Like, it almost seemed like he wanted to give him a hug.
I don't know if I need a backstory on why Icarus is a problem with the dragon, but like,
And then Oolong is like, I don't blame him. He's got a face I wouldn't want to run into in a dark alley, let alone a well-lit police station.
Yeah, and fucking Icarus is kind of an idiot, basically.
I kind of obsessed over that line because I was just imagining, like, you're looking at, like, a majestic god. Like, is that how you describe a majestic god? Like, man, I wouldn't want to run into him in a police station. Like, what if you saw, like, Aslan in a dark alley or, like... I don't know why Aslan would be in a police station being arrested, but...
Yeah, or just the face of God. Like, oh, fuck, that's pretty terrifying. I mean, I get that the dragon is terrifying. It's a dragon. We're spending a lot of time talking about this dragon, though, which is irrelevant to the rest of the plot pretty much entirely.
Yeah, well, he brings back the forest. Meanwhile, this spaceship that crashed is, like, scouting and makes a crater. And then the bad guys come in.
It should be mentioned that the little scout robot that the pod deploys looks just pretty much exactly like a Johnny Quest spider robot. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's just a ball with a bunch of legs coming out of the top.
And so this enemy and their gang, like, God, the enemy gang is a classic bunch of DBZ movie mooks. It seems like there's always like this kind of assemblage of minor bad guys who get their asses kicked.
Yeah, well, here's...
In these movies. Like, okay, we have big, tall guy with a facial scar and hammer pants, which is very real. A little chubby alien and another little chubby alien.
Yeah, two little
twins.
Chubby aliens.
Yeah. There's always got to be a chubby little alien.
A guy who's just a human. He's just not even big or anything. He's just a dude.
He's just an Australian, and he has leg warmers.
And then a pink goo monster who has robot armor.
The one surprisingly unique enemy is this melting pink monster that kind of reminds me of like something out of Space Ghost. He has steel armor and cool jets and shit. And then the super bad guy,
who is Turles, who just looks like Goku, but in Saiyan armor.
He looks like Goku, but slightly more evil looking.
Yeah, and... Like, here's the thing. Pretty much all Dragon Ball Z movies need to have this dumb mook squad because they need someone for the Z Fighters, the good guy mook squad, to put it bluntly, to fight and, you know, theoretically compete against before Goku fights the big bad guy.
Don't you think they're kind of similar to Monstars?
I don't think these guys are as similar to Monstars as the ones from
Group
the World's Strongest.
But group assemblage-wise, that's true. World's Strongest had some real Monstars in there.
Yeah.
This one, of course, Monstars from Space Jam. Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
It just kind of reminds me because it's like, that's the same way where it's like, there's a big one. Oh, there's a little one that's a little pipsqueak, but he's like kind of, I don't know.
I don't think Monstars had like a pipsqueak. They're basketball players.
I think they had a comparable pipsqueak that turned... I mean, they all like took their roids and turned huge anyway.
Yeah, sure. We're really getting bogged down though. There's like
we're really
a
getting
decent
bogged down
amount
in
of
this Monstar bit.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of plot left, and we're already pretty far into the episode. So essentially, they plant this thing called the Tree of Might by popping a seed,
just throwing it into a crater. It's like no care for like soil or anything or watering it, just. Throw a dumb seed into a giant crater, and I guess that'll work. And, yeah, the Tree of Might is, like, this... I mean, it's a tree that, like, is fucking huge and just sucks all the energy out of a planet to grow, like, this super condensed energy fruit that makes you super powerful. And these guys are just going around to planets, I guess, doing that. to get stronger and stronger with the stupid fruit. Skipping a little bit of the like a little bit of the early stuff where it's like, oh, Gohan and Icarus, like Gohan wants to keep Icarus as a pet and Chi-Chi won't
some,
let him.
Some fairly bullshit stuff that doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
There's a subplot about Gohan and Icarus that matters eventually, but
so we get to this tree appearing. The tree fucking just destroys everything. Like the roots will just goes through and rips apart a city, and like the destruction is kind of insane.
Yeah, the roots just are
how much chaos.
The roots are comparable to like sandworms of Dune in size. They're just these giant fucking things that burst out of the ground and rip through.
They
buildings
burst through
and
skyscrapers
shit.
And shit. Yeah.
And, you know, oh, God, it's all this chaos. It's this totally apocalyptic event. So all of the Z fighters go to the tree to destroy it.
I love this little bit, though. I love that they all go there and they all just try shooting energy blasts all at once at the tree. And it's like, you know what? Good on you. That would never should have worked. And it never did. You know, it never worked. But it's definitely something. I'm glad they did it because it's like the stupidest decision. It's like this just so stupidly obvious. Just like, I guess we'll just try shooting.
Yeah,
energy
well, I mean, it's
it.
The kind of thing that you'd wonder why they didn't try that at any point. Like, yeah, well, I guess yeah. We can't get rid of this tree. So anyway, Turles's fucking B team shows up. They fight all the Z fighters who are not Goku. Gohan decides to come help. The Z fighters get their asses kicked. Goku yeah. fights the bad guy B team while Turles just kind of beats the crap out of Gohan. Turles uses this move that allows him to create a fake moon, basically, to trigger Gohan's ape form.
Yeah.
And then Ape Gohan goes on a rampage, starts beating up Goku. And you know what? Basically, the rest of this is just Goku getting beat on by yeah. alternate people. Like
Goku gets fucking brutalized up, down, left, right, and center in this movie. He just gets completely fucked up constantly. Like there's so many scenes of just Goku torture.
Yeah, Goku being crushed in giant ape Gohan's hand and like his bones cracking and shit. It's pretty brutal, but you know, eventually this culminates in a showdown between Goku and Turles. Which Turles at this point has eaten the fruit of the Tree of Might. So he's super strong and he's just easily beating Goku.
It is I kind of liked how desperate it was though. Cause like Goku uses the strongest moves in his arsenal at that point in the show. Like
yeah,
the strongest
bomb.
Moves that he has possible before he gets like Super Saiyan later in the show. Cause he's like, he does a spirit bomb. And the Spirit Bomb actually had like this cool, like kind of epic musical build up to it too, like this kind of like orchestral, just excited music, and then he like tosses it, and it just completely fails.
Yeah, because the tree has has drained all the energy from the earth, so yeah. There's no energy to give a Spirit Bomb.
But like how desperate it gets in the end, I kind of liked because it's like it seems even that level of kind of craziness is not seen in a lot of the other movies. I don't know. You could say that Dead Zone is a little like that because they can't beat him. But it's never like, seen as that desperate. Like they don't use all the best moves. He uses like Kaioken times 20 and can't do shit still.
Yeah.
And gets his ass beat further. Like it's ridiculous. When I watched it, I actually watched it twice this time. The first time I watched it, I was kind of like annoyed. Like oh my god. Like I get it.
Yeah.
Move on. The second time I enjoyed it more.
Right, and here's the thing, like, I would say about half this movie is just Goku fighting Turles, or at least it feels that way. And, like,
yeah,
you know, we'll talk about that later, but that's one of the things with these Dragon Ball Z movies that kind of stops being fun to watch. But eventually Goku gains energy for another spirit bomb, presumably from the tree, and like throws the spirit bomb in Turles and blows him up, and also blows the tree up.
Yeah, so he climbs up the tree after being like constantly knocked down and beaten up, and just it's implied heavily that he gets one of the fruit or something like that.
No, he takes the energy from the fruit, like he doesn't eat it.
Oh, okay, like.
Man, yeah, how do you not know this? King Kai explains it. Like
he didn't say they don't. I don't think they make it that clear in that regard. Like, whether he ate the fruit or not. But, okay, Doug. So, yes, he fucking shoots one energy blast that just has this ridiculous effect, blows up, Turles explodes for a solid 30 seconds. Like, he is, because he's just constantly exploding, cutting back to shots of him going, ah! Like, energy flying everywhere and, like, blue fire.
Yeah, pretty classic Dragon Ball Z villain death, to be fair.
Cut between that and shots of the tree also exploding, and, like, every part of the tree blows up and then turns into, like, this snowfall of energy dust that comes back to the environment and brings everything back to life.
Yeah, it just kind of hits a reset button, makes everything normal again.
Hey, I liked it. I was okay with that. I think that would be a little... a bit of a tone shift. They were like, well, all these creatures on Earth are still dead, and so is most of the Earth, and Earth is still brown.
Okay, sure. For me, it's more of a question of, like, the apocalyptic scale of literally every event in Dragon Ball Z, like, and that there are very rarely consequences for anything.
I mean, yeah, they could also just wish back everything anyway. What's crazy is that, like, right after that happens and you see that, it cuts to King Kai on his planet, and he just goes on this fucking, like, two-paragraph-long expository monologue about how Goku won. He's like, amazing, Goku took the energy of the tree and then shot it back at them, therefore creating a chain reaction that caused the entire thing to explode and kill him with it. And Goku's really smart, that's really great, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's
like,
really weird, because he just goes on and on and on. And
yeah, and the ending I really feel could have been handled a little better. Like, you shouldn't feel the need to have that kind of expository monologue at the end.
Sure.
And it just kind of, it ends a little, I don't know, just like the last blast is just like Goku just tosses it at him, blows him up, and it's done. Like,
there's not a whole lot of fucking build up to it, really. Yeah. It's just gonna, all right, the movie's almost over, better kill him. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of this is intercut with fucking, you know, Krillin, like, on the ground, groaning and being like, Goku, you need to beat him, which is I don't know, ugh, God. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, it ends with everyone camping again.
Laughing at Oolong.
Yeah, because fucking all these movies need to end with just everyone laughing, I guess.
That's how you know everything's okay again.
At least the second two.
Mm-hmm.
Piccolo shows up in there at some point, but he's weirdly just kind of not there for very long. Like,
yeah, he fights a little bit. He lasts a lot longer than any of the other Z fighters, but he still gets his ass beat like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. He lasts longer than 1 second is what you mean say that.
It's kind of amazing how little the Z fighters can contribute in this one. Like, I feel like in World's Strongest, I think they helped out a lot more. Like, Master Roshi actually fought, and we actually got, like, I don't know, actual fights with the Z fighters instead of just them being fucking destroyed immediately.
Yeah, yeah, well,
this one does have the awesome, like, Goku fighting all five of the Mooks at once. It's pretty cool, and that's a lot of that and a lot of the other footage of this movie is actually used in the Ocean Dub opening, the Rock the Dragon opening. It's a lot of that is from Dead Zone and Tree of Might
and World's Strongest too. It's really from the three movies, like, almost entirely. But I don't know, like, do you really have anything else to say about this before we get to the break? Like, that's pretty much the plot. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah.
You know, there's a bit in there where where Gohan and Goku are drinking from mugs that have their names on it.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Toriyama, like, some part of the character design is, like, they have to wear shirts with their names on it for some reason. I was just thinking about, like, what kind of, like, maybe they all went to, like, to a gas station, you know, and got one of those novelty racks of shit with your name on it that you can buy.
Yeah, sure. And they have Goku for some reason. It's like, you know, right next to Ben and Greg, there's Goku.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gohan.
Yeah. I wonder if Gohan inherited his from his grandpa.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Grandpa Gohan had his own mug.
Yeah.
Specific. Yeah.
I do love that going to a store and finding, it's like finding Bort. You can't find Bart.
Yeah, sure, Simpsons, but there's a million ports.
Yeah. I would love to get a Goku mug or one of those. I'm sure you could buy one.
Like those exist for sure. Yeah. You can find an Etsy page that sells that shit.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we will get back with some more concise thoughts about the about this whole movie and our opinions on it right after the break. We'll see you then.
Your wish will be granted. Tree of Might will continue in a moment on Toonami.
Hey there, listener. If you're a fan of the podcast, why not subscribe on iTunes? And if you're a big fan, consider leaving us a review. If you want to interact with us more directly, we'd love to hear from you. We can be found at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod. If, like me, you don't know what to talk to people about most of the time, consider leaving us an over-under bet based on Dragon Ball Z, the next series we're watching. For example, how many episodes does Goku charge a spirit bomb to kill Frieza? Possibly more than one. I'm not sure. I really hope it's not more than one. That seems like one would be excessive. But I guess excessiveness is kind of Dragon Ball Z in a nutshell, isn't it? We'll try to guess how many times whatever you suggest happens, and it will influence the next series we watch. Based on, you know, who wins the bets, they pick the next series. The next episode will be up on October 18th, and we'll be back to Tree of Might in just a moment.
That's enough! Energy blast!
Tree of Might now continues on Toonami.
And we're back, and here to discuss kind of our thoughts on the movie. So, Peter, I'll let you start. What did you think about this?
You know, the first time I watched this, because I did watch it twice, like I mentioned before. The first time I watched it, I was into it, but I kind of got a little bored later on in the movie because they spend so much time beating on Goku over and over again that it kind of just drags. When I watched it again, to actually like take notes and stuff, I actually did enjoy it more overall. It still kind of drags towards the end, and but I would say I overall enjoyed it. I see what you mean about like the sameness of the movie compared to like any of the others.
Yeah. Well, okay. So
like, it's all becoming like the formula is becoming pretty clear.
Yeah, right. And I think this is the point, too, where these movies start to, like, I thought this movie was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as either of the other Dragon Ball Z movies we've watched so far. To be honest, I think I was in kind of a bad mood when we watched it because I couldn't find the, you know, because the fucking Rock the Dragon box is $400.
Yeah, right.
And I really wanted to watch the, you know, edited version of this, but, you know, not in the cards. So I was in kind of a bad mood, and that probably didn't help. But I think that this is the point where the Dragon Ball Z movies start to get kind of shitty, for lack of a better word. Like, I'm not going to stand by The World Strong as being some kind of masterpiece, but the thing is, like, it had a final fight that wasn't just Goku versus the villain. It had interim fights with, you know, Mook characters, to be fair, but Mook characters with different abilities than the ones we see all the time in the show.
Yeah. Like, oh, and they had nothing. The Mook guys in this one had nothing to offer, too.
Well,
like,
yeah,
there was no unique move or anything like that. Whereas, like, oh, they actually like use a freeze ray or whatever in World's Strongest. And it's like, oh, I actually haven't seen that in Dragon Ball Z before.
Yeah, or like pull swords out of their bodies in Dead Zone. Like, these guys are just so generic in what they do, and they have no personality at all. Mm-hmm. They're just the blandest. Like, they're just designs. And
yeah.
The designs look cool sometimes, like bubblegum robot guy looks cool, but the rest of them are just kind of generic. It's
generic with like the worst. It's like some real like Sailor Moon Fashion Week shit, but like real bad.
But like armor instead of weird fucking bright pink. Yeah.
But also like the overalls. ridiculous fucking hammer pants in this guy are huge and too colored and look really stupid. And like the Australian guy in the leg warmers and like the shell necklace and shit. Like, what's going on with that? I don't even think he's Australian. I don't know why I'm just bagging on Australians.
Yeah, you're just thinking of Zarbon or Jace or whatever. Jace, yeah, that's what his name is.
The Funimation dub goes to Australia a lot for their some of their alien minor villains.
Yeah, for some reason, but
yeah,
it's I don't know. Like, this is just a really generic offering to me, and I think that of the other Dragon Ball Z movies which I've seen, which to be fair, I have not seen them all, but you know. I've seen Cooler's Revenge, I've seen Lord Slug, and both those feel very much like this. It's like, you know, they have this shitty squad of soldiers for the Z Fighters to fight and, like, have a chance against. And then the big guy shows up and he beats the shit out of all of them, and then Goku fights the big guy, and everyone else just stands on the sidelines. And it's like, you know, you can do other stuff in these movies. Like, that's what the show is a lot of the time. I don't need to see more of that just cut down to an hour with some apocalyptic event that's casually resolved by some bullshit at the end. Like, I don't know. And I'm really bagging on this, and it probably doesn't deserve it. Like, it's not terrible. It's just, I just didn't care. Like,
yeah.
I just sat through this and was like, all right, it's over now. Great. Like that. I don't know. I just didn't care.
Your point about the villains was a really good one, though, because, yeah, these guys are very generic. Don't bring anything unique to the fights. They're just there. And, you know, the Z Fighters don't really help at all. They just come in, they barely even fight.
Like, that's the thing. The rest of the characters might as well not even be there. Like, they could have just had them not be there at all, and it would have been almost the same fucking movie. But,
they pretty much just use themselves as, like, meat shields for Goku to, like, get time to use a spirit bomb or something. That's about it.
Much like the Dragon Balls, it feels like they're contractually obligated. Like, oh, yeah, we gotta fucking put Tien in here somewhere. Well, he can't do anything, so I guess we'll just have him get his ass beat. He'll use Solar Flare, and then this, you know, generic bad guy number 456 will kick him in the head or something. Like, I don't know. It's just, and that's really what it comes down to for me in a weird way with these movies is, like, if you show me a villain that does stuff that I haven't seen before, cool. That's enough for me. Like, that's all I really want. I know that these are 60 minutes long. You're not going to have these deep involved backstories for these mooks who exist to be beaten up by Goku, but fucking at least let them, like, do something interesting or, like, have a line of dialogue that's not just like, we're going to beat you up. Like, that's...
Yeah. I kind of feel as though they would benefit from having, like, a part one and part two movie. Like, or, like, you know, a movie with a direct sequel. Which I think they kind of do with, like, Cooler and Cooler's Revenge.
Yeah, vaguely.
Not really what I mean.
Cooler's Revenge, or wait a minute, is Cooler's Revenge the Meta Cooler, or is Meta Cooler just called Meta Cooler? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think Cooler's Revenge is the first one.
Yeah, I think he's getting revenge for Frieza.
For Frieza, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah, it's... But, like, if they had just... I'm not saying we need, like, a super long movie. But if they had, like, two movies like this as a part one and part two, and, like, part one ends with a cliffhanger and destruction and crazy shit, and then, like, part two is all, like, fighting and stuff, I feel like that would work better and give the characters more time to breathe. Actually make the villains worth a damn.
But here's the thing. This is Dragon Ball Z to an extent. Like, well, not to an extent. It is Dragon Ball Z. What I mean by that is... I don't want the characters to have time to breathe. I don't really care about that. What I want with the Dragon Ball Z movie is to have characters that are memorable for some reason at all. Like, even if it's just because they have a freeze ray. Really, that's all I want. And, you know, like, this is kind of a weird comparison, but, like, hold this up against fucking Battle of the Gods. Like, I think Battle of the Gods is a bit longer. I think it's technically, like, 90 minutes. I think it's theatrical length. But,
yeah.
But they establish Beerus, for example, so much faster and better than any of these guys. And I mean, of course, like, he's the main villain. But even Turles is just not anything. Like, he's just there. Like,
he's just Raditz again. Like,
yeah, right. He's just a second-rate Vegeta who they don't even really do anything with the fact that he looks identical to Goku. It's just...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just... This just felt like a very generic offering to me. And it felt like the beginning of the Dragon Ball Z movies are just kind of formulaic crap trend. Like, that again, that's being really harsh. I thought it was okay. I just wouldn't watch it again, honestly.
Yeah.
So I guess with that, let's get into our recommendation.
Like, yeah, right.
I guess I'll go first, considering... of course, our categories are visit, which would be a thing that you would say is like good and worth recommending to somebody else. Revisit, which is a thing that maybe isn't worth recommending to someone who's never seen it, but it's not going to like actively harm your memory of the thing. And then best left in the past, which is something that will actively harm your memory of the thing and is more or less best left as a memory, as the name indicates. I'm kind of between best left in the past and revisit on this one.
Like, yeah, I mean, if you like considering like, oh well, there's other movies you can watch. There's better Z movies out there, and like how often are you gonna recommend people watch a Dragon Ball Z movie?
Well, I mean, not just that, but like, you know, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, like. Yeah, no, I'd say this is best left in the past, because there's like a dozen Dragon Ball Z movies. They're not all worth watching. Like, sorry. Even the ones that we've watched so far.
It's the Tenchi Universe
argument.
Like, yeah. There's a better thing out there.
Exactly. Even the ones we've watched so far are better. So I think this is best left in the past. Like, it's not atrocious. You could do worse. But it's also not really worth your time.
I'd give it a revisit. I think there's still some quality in it to be found. It's just, it doesn't quite live up to snuff with the previous movies.
And again, like,
but we're really all those same points. Like, I echo the same thing. Like,
and again, like, I feel like I don't have super high standards for this kind of thing. Like, you know, I'm not trying to compare this to. Even like Endless Waltz, like I just want the villains to have any kind of flavor beyond design. That's really all I want. Like, fucking pink goop guy with a robo suit is cool, but you know, he doesn't do anything that interesting except break with Jets at one point.
Yeah,
like that's the coolest thing in the movie, and it is like 1 second.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it's just kind of bog standard Dragon Ball Z with good animation.
Yeah.
So what's your final verdict then? Revisit?
Oh, I said it was a revisit already.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I kind of missed that. So that's kind of it for Tree of Might. Like,
yeah, Tree of Might Not. So, next week we will be watching episodes 51 through 60 of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get back to Dragon Ball Z, sort of. Honestly, this has tempered my excitement a little bit, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's about it for our show. Check back with us next week. And until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this has been Hyperspace Broadcast. Some acknowledgments. bumpers were taken from the video Toonami Movies Presented by Moltar, uploaded by YouTube user MarkTrade88. The opening and closing music, as always, is Vapor Diving by Onatech off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and if you like what's playing right now, you probably should. Rights were secured through Jamendo.